And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we have a Secrets Volume 205. Secrets Volume 205. And we have a lot of things that, well, I would consider them secrets because, well, they're things that it appears that the elite would rather us not know. But we're going to take a look at it anyway. For example, we're going to compare Vladimir Putin to our own president, Barack Obama. Who would you like to, or I should say, who would you prefer to have as president of the United States, Putin or Obama? Then, did you know there's evidence that has been found of human sacrifice in North America? Rick Warren, America's pastor, he wrote the book, Find Your Purpose or whatever. It was such a huge bestseller. His son has now committed suicide. But Rick Warren is most upset at the person who sold the gun to his son. What's that all about? We'll talk about that, of course. Then the United Nations has a disarmament commission. It's called the Civilian Weapons Confiscation Study Group. Oh, boy. We'll find that out. Then over in down in South America in Argentina, a Jewish ex-minister, now I don't mean minister of the gospel, I mean government minister, Carlos Carac, seems to be involved in a conspiracy that resulted in a car bomb that blew up a Jewish center. Now, why would a Jew blow up a Jewish center? We'll talk about that. The Pope. Of course, the Pope. We have to talk about the Pope, don't we? Well, he said first that atheists don't, need God. They'll go to heaven just in their own belief. Atheists that are good will go to heaven. I guess Madeline Murray O'Hare, she must have been good. She was head of the American Atheist Foundation. She's in heaven, isn't she? And many other atheists as well. Well, now the Pope has made another controversial statement. He says that Judaism is the holy root of Christianity. He must be one of those guys that believes in something called Judeo-Christianity. We'll talk about that. Hey, do you know Dr. Oz? Evidently, he's a very famous surgeon and doctor, author, and television personality. He first appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, then later on Larry King Live, and now he has his own show, the Dr. Oz Show. Well, evidently, he and a Hollywood director, Mike Nichols, very famous movie director, both went down and took a DNA test. We'll tell you what they discovered about that. A Christian airman, I was in the Air Force, this really affects me quite a bit here. Senior Master Sergeant, a Christian. His commanding officer, who happens to be a lesbian, an open lesbian, relieved him of duty. His career is ruined. He's a senior master sergeant. Why? Because his commander gave him an order to say that he supports gay marriage. He wouldn't do it. He said the Bible says no. She says then you're unfit for military service. She's punishing him for what the Bible says. Are we going to stand for that, fellow Christian? I don't see why she's even in the service. She ought to be out on her... Well, we'll talk about that. Arctic sea ice seems to be up. Up? I thought it was all melting. I thought global warming. Oh, I have to laugh at that. Global warming has kicked in. Don't you feel it? You say you don't. Well, okay, we'll talk about that. Then the Bible talks about a ravenous bird from the east. What does that mean? Then DARPA, you know, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, they're always messing around with they're building new robots and spy systems and so forth. With our tax money, of course. Now they say they can genetically engineer human beings by adding a 47th chromosome. They can have a new human being by adding a 47th chromosome. Wow. That could, we'll talk about the impact of that. Over in Great Britain, they've got a law now that protects the church. The church does, a church does not have to marry gays. You can say we don't believe in that and turn them away. I mean, there's plenty of people that will marry gays. Sort of ridiculous to think of them marrying anyway, but now a couple says they're going to sue a church in Britain. They don't care about the British law. They say that we're going to test this law in the courts. Because they believe they should be married in a church. You know, well, we'll talk about that too. Then we'll finally get around to a small one here. Tylenol. Acetaminophen. It can cause a deadly skin condition. Say what? Tylenol? Acetaminophen? I've been taking it for 40 years probably. Off and on when I had a headache or a little pain or ache. But it might cause a skin condition that will kill you. You've been told it's the safest medicine out there, Tylenol or acetaminophen, non-aspirin pain reliever. It can kill you. Well, we'll find out about that. But first, let's talk about Vladimir Putin. Now, you know, there is no government on earth, as far as I know, where there is a true Christian leader. I mean, look at our own country. Obama says, yes, I'm a Christian, but you know by his acts, he's anything but. You know, he's for partial birth abortion. He's for homosexuals and homosexual marriage. He's just a horrible person. So when a man like Putin comes along, who has Russia, his country, he's president of Russia, of course, pass a law that says homosexuals can, of course, exist and do their thing, but homosexual propaganda is against the law. You know, you can't go out and start propagandizing and like they do in America. They stick it in our face constantly, don't they? Look at this poor guy. His lesbian commander called him in and said, do you believe in gay marriage? He said, no, the Bible says no. She's going to throw him out of the service, give him a discharge. He's a senior master sergeant. She wants him to say, yes, I think it's okay. I believe it's all right. He won't say it. He shouldn't say it. But Putin says that's propagandizing. She'd be in trouble, not the senior master sergeant. The woman commander. You know, there's a music group in Russia. All-girl music group called, and I'm sorry, please ask your kids to leave the room or put your hand over their ears or something. The name of the group was Pussy Riot. Pussy Riot. You can sort of tell what they're all about. They use horrible curse words and make fun of Christianity and they're all a bunch of lesbians. The whole group is. Well, they were propagandizing for lesbianism and all that. And well, then they passed this law in Russia, you can't do that. Well, they decided to test the law, and they went into a church during worship services, interrupted the church service, and began to, you know, perform at the front of the church there, inside the building. They interrupted the church worship service. That also is against the law in Russia and in many states in the United States as well. So they were arrested. They thought, they'll slap our wrist and let us out on the street again, and we'll be out there performing some more gay songs. No way. Vladimir Putin sticks it to them. He kept them in prison or in jail. They had a trial, all right. And now they're in prison. They're in prison. I don't know how many years they're going to, 4 or 5 years. Well, friends, if you're going to interrupt a church service and use horrible, coarse, vulgar words about homosexuality and show your, you know what, right there in church, and you have a name like P. Riot, he did the right thing, didn't he? And he has said, you know, that they're going to have the Olympics, is it, I think, in Russia? And the Russian government says if there's any gays in the Olympics, behave yourself. If you propagandize and you parade around and you show yourself, you're going to be arrested. Hey, that sounds like my kind of guy. I like Putin, don't you? And, you know, he's parading around saying that he's sort of like a man. Well, in any case, a recently released poll by YouGov found that Americans overwhelmingly believe that Russian President Vladimir Putin has been more effective than President Barack Obama in the Syrian chemical weapons crisis. Well, I think he was too. Do you realize it's because of Putin that we're not in a war right now? He saved thousands of Syrian lives. We were going in there. We're going to bomb that country. We don't know why we're bombing. We'll kill men, women, and children for no reason at all. He said, well, you know what he did. He saved us from the bombing. He saved American soldiers from getting involved. And he saved the Syrian people. And Americans overwhelmingly believe that he was more effective as a peacemaker than President Obama, who was chomping at the bit and couldn't wait to go in there and kill people. Now, when asked which world leader was most effective during the Syrian chemical crisis, 49% of Americans gave the nod to Putin, while only 25% gave it to Obama. But among Republicans, they're more conservative, you know, the ratio was 63% for Putin to only 7%. 63-7 for Putin over Obama. Now, you know, would you prefer to have Putin as president over Obama? Maybe we have the wrong man. It could be. He says he has proof. He's given a 100-page report to the United Nations, proof that it's the rebel groups, the Al-Qaeda and the others in Syria that did this horrible crime of chemical attack. I believe he's correct. But the United States has gone into Jordan. We are operating from a base there, the CIA. We're working with Israel, our troops, and we're funding and we're arming the rebels. We're helping Al-Qaeda, the terrorist, to kill the people of Syria. We're the reason for the war there. And then we go on there some hokey excuse and say we're going to go kill these people. Putin says, no, you're not. He starts sending his ships and armaments and such to the Middle East as well. He says, Syria is my ally. And you know what? The United States backed down. Now, I don't know what the upshot of it all is, but I know this much. The whole world believes that Putin is a peacemaker. And they believe that Obama and America, we're exceptional, all right. We're a bunch of no good war criminals. That's what the whole world thinks of us. And we are. We're bombing in Yemen, Pakistan, Syria. Well, we hadn't started bombing there, except we're helping the terrorists. We're bombing in Afghanistan. We're still in Iraq. We bombed the Dickens out of Libya. We're all over the Middle East now. What business do we have over there? We don't ask anybody's permission. We just go in and start bombing and killing. Come on. Now, let me just tell you the way I feel about it. I think Vladimir Putin deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. In fact, they shouldn't give him a new one. They should repeal the one that they gave to Obama. They should just say, you know what? We just voted for you to give over your award that we gave you mistakenly when you first became president. We thought you were going to be a peacemaker, but you're not. You're a war criminal. Give it over, buddy, to Vladimir Putin. He's our hero. Well, that's the way I feel. I'm not saying he's a great guy. I'm not saying he's the most wonderful man on earth. I'm just saying he's better than our president. Now, does that make me a anti-American? No. I believe that Putin is more for freedom and liberty. He also, by the way, supports the Church of Russia, the Christian Church. He supports traditional marriage. He's against gay rights and propaganda. It sounds like a man we need is our president. I'm sorry to say that. I know he would never become our president. After all, he's not a Republican or Democrat. Only those crooks get to be our president. Well, we go from Putin, the hero, the would-be Nobel Peace Prize winner. I wish he would win it. I'd show him a little bit. To the IRS. Now, regardless of all of the dope they've got about them being crooked and corrupt, which they are, they're still in charge of this Obamacare system. They're still given the lead, and they're going to enforce it. They're going to make the rules for you and me and Obamacare. They're going to say which people die, which people live. How do you like that? An IRS agent. That's crazy. That's insane. That's not America. You know, you're better off going to Thailand or Russia or Malaysia. That's horrible. Now I find out that $67 million is missing from an Obamacare slush fund at the IRS. The IRS watchdogs. Yeah, sure. Let me read this to you from Americans for Tax Reform. The IRS is unable to account for $67 million spent from a slush fund established for Obamacare implementation, according to a report released today. Now, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, the Inspector General of the IRS, says the Health Insurance Reform Implementation Fund was tucked into Obamacare in order to give the IRS the money it needs to enforce the tax provisions of the health care law. Now, the fund totals some $1 billion of taxpayer money. Now, the Republicans, did you vote for this, friends? Did you know that they gave $1 billion to the IRS to unleash their wickedness on all of us for Obamacare? Did you know that? $1 billion the Congress gave them. While they're voting to repeal, the House voted 40 times to repeal Obamacare. That's their right-handed move. With their left hand, they give $1 billion to the IRS to enforce it. See how deceitful and tricksterism is embedded in the Congress? That House Speaker John Boehner, that House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, and all those chair people, they're all a bunch of criminals. They're criminals. They gave $1 billion to the IRS, and now $67 million is missing, and the IRS said there's no way they can go back and audit it and find it. It's just gone. Now, friends, if they audit your tax return and you've got millions of dollars missing, what happens to you? You go to prison. You have to answer. I mean, I was examined by the IRS many years ago, and I didn't have a receipt for like $21. They said, we are going to disallow that. You don't have the receipt. $21 a receipt. They didn't doubt that I'd spent the money, but I didn't have a receipt. $21. Now $67 million is missing. Man. Boy. There's all kinds of things in this report. This is incredible. Well, and that's not all. Let me tell you some more about Obamacare. Do you remember when Barack Obama stood up before our Congress? And a congressman, I think from North Carolina, hollered out no to Obamacare because he said that it included money for abortion. Do you remember what Obama said? Obama said, no, that's not true. There is no money in this act for abortion. Okay, now the congressman said, you're a liar. And boy, they punished him. They castigated him. How dare you call the president a liar? He tells the truth. And Obama said, that's the truth. Yeah, sure. Well, an analysis by the Charlotte Losier Institute published this week says the number of abortions that will be subsidized is between 71,000 and 111,500 per year. The federal government through Obamacare is going to pay for abortions between 71,000 and 111,500 per year. But Obama promised us, he said, we're not going to spend a dollar for abortions. This is so corrupt and dishonest, it's amazing. But it's true. Do you see why we need to get rid of these political parties? Do you see now why, friends, the Republicans and the Democrats, they're just alike? It's a two-headed monster. We got to get rid of these people. Now, the congressman from your district is just as worthless as mine is. Mine is Congressman Michael McCaul. He's head of the Homeland Security Committee. They say he's the richest congressman in the whole place, I think, or second to Daryl Issa. He's super rich. He married money. He's a Republican, but he does exactly what Obama wanted him to do. So does Boehner. So does Cantor. The Republican Party is a second branch of the Democrat Party. Don't try to tell me they're different. They're not different, folks. Romney would have given us Obamacare. Yes, he would have. I know he said he wouldn't, but he did up in Massachusetts, didn't he? He'd do it again. He'd find excuses. Well, we go from Obamacare to human sacrifice. You know, it sounds like Jerry is my broadcast engineer over here. Sounds like I'm still on the same subject. From Obamacare, now we're moving over to human sacrifice. Well, According to Richard Thornton, the Native American History Examiner, it's a topic that America's people don't want much to discuss. But he says it was a common practice, a religious practice, in a number of Native American Indian cultures on this continent. Now, we've all heard of the Mayans, the Incans, the, you know, the Aztecs that sacrificed hundreds of thousands annually on the top of their great pyramids to the sun god. Cut their heart out while they were still breathing. Men, women, children. Boy. But let me tell you something, friends. Even Christopher Columbus found this out. He discovered this. When he returned home from a second trip to the New America, he spoke of a tribe called the Taino. He said they're bloodthirsty savages. They sacrifice babies and eat human flesh. Well, no wonder the progressives, the liberals, they hate Christopher Columbus. He exposed what the indigenous Native American Indians were doing. You know, I had a good friend named James Haley. Haven't seen James for many days now, but James wrote a book called The Buffalo Wars about the Indians of North America, and it was well received, and all the liberals wrote reviews of it in the New York Times and so forth, and he was very celebrated. He won many awards for his book, The Buffalo Wars, about the Indians. And then he dug deeper into the Native American Indian, what they were really like. And he wrote another book. This one was not very well received. Now, he was a great historian, Brother James. James says the Indians were not environmentally correct. You know, we're told that they only killed meat to eat. They did not waste anything. But in fact, they decimated entire herds, thousands of buffalo they would kill just for the pleasure of killing. He talked about the rapes, the tortures, the murders. And he wasn't welcome anymore in polite society. He had broken the code, my friends. Do not speak evil of the American Indian. You can only lie about these people. Tell us they were environmentally correct. Tell us that they love nature. And like the Lakota Indian chief, they cried over the environment. Woo-hoo-hoo! They boo-hooed about pollution. But don't tell us the truth. James told Wanda and I that he was no longer welcome to parties anymore. He didn't have any more means of affording things, and he didn't get any more money for his books, and his editor wouldn't even answer his phone calls, and James had to get a job as a waiter at a restaurant. And that's where we ran into him. He said, I'm embarrassed that I'm a waiter. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with being a waiter. It's a good job. He said, I know, but I was once a famous writer until I wrote the truth about the Indian. And now this is what I am. When we come back in just a minute, I'm going to tell you what James found about the Indians. I'm going to tell you about the human sacrifices, the things that these people did for their gods and goddesses. Yes, they worship Venus, the star goddess, right here in North America. We'll talk about much more. When I return in just a moment, I'll be right back. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us right here on Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. You know, I recently read a book that really affected me. It really did. It was entitled, or it is entitled, because I'm going to offer it to you, this ministry today. It's a hardcover book entitled, From Lubies to the Legislature. from Luby's to the legislature. One woman's fight against gun control. It's by a good friend of mine, Susanna Hupp, H-U-P-P. Susanna Hupp, from Luby's to the legislature. That's about 187 pages, and I'll tell you, it's very hard-hitting, and it's very, well, it's very poignant, because, you see, Susanna Hupp has a story to tell. This is one woman's fight against gun control, but let me ask you this question. What would you do if you were Susanna Hupp? You see, back in October 16, 1991, she was having a very pleasant lunch with her parents at Luby's Cafeteria here in Central Texas, when a man crashed his pickup through a window. He got out of the pickup, and the cafeteria was full of people sitting, many of them older, and he began to kill them one by one. He was partially guarding the door, and so anyone who tried to leave, he would shoot them dead. When the shooting had stopped, Susanna Hupp's mother and father were dead. They were murdered. And 21 other people as well. Her father was shot in the head first and killed. And everyone screamed to her mother, "Get away, get away, let's get out." But she wouldn't leave. She would not leave her afflicted husband. She gathered him in her arms and looked up at the gunman, who brutally put the gun to her head as well and blew her brains out. That affected Susanna Hupp, you see, because she owned a gun. She could have stopped the man, but the gun was not with her. It was in her vehicle outside the restaurant. Not one person in that restaurant was armed. And the police took, it seemed, forever to get to Luby's. And her mother and father were dead. You know, Susie Hupp did not get angry at the killer. She says, "He was a rabid dog. How can you be angry at a rabid dog?" No, she was angry at the people who had passed a law that said you cannot bring your gun in a public place. Well, the killer did. And 23 people total were dead. And at that moment, Susanna Hupp said, "I'm going to fight this law. I'm going to make it possible for the people of Texas to protect themselves. I will never again be caught in a public place without my gun. I will stop that mad dog killer." And she campaigned for the legislature, and she won office. And they passed that law. This is all part of one woman's fight against gun control. Now, Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and all of the other Jewish senators and monsters, Chuck Schumer and all, they've all got their bodyguards. They've all got their guns. They're all protected in their homes. But they don't want you and me to be protected. They want us to be defenseless against the monsters of society. Susanna Hupp, state legislator. She's a little person, I guess you might say, but she became a very powerful voice in the citizens' movement. And she caused changes to be made. Now, we've got her book that tells her story, From Luby's to the Legislature, One Woman's Fight Against Gun Control. Susanna Hupp. It's a hardcover, and we're just asking $20 for it. Please, help us get this message out. Let's stop these massacres. Let's arm the good people so that when they come up against the monsters, they won't be defenseless. Maybe your parents weren't murdered in this way. Maybe this won't happen to you. But find out what Susanna Hupp did. She turned something horrible into something at least somewhat good. And I want you to know about it. For just $20 plus $5 shipping and handling, $25 total, ask for the book From Lubies to the Legislature, or just ask for the Hupp Gun Control Book. The Gun Control Book by Susanna Hupp, From Lubies to the Legislature. I know you'll be affected as I was in reading this. And you might want to give it to one of those liberals that believes we should all be disarmed. Maybe you should give it as a gift to them. Maybe they'll think about themselves a little bit more, about you and me, that is, and about what we really need to do to protect ourselves. $25, that includes shipping and handling for the book From Lubies to the Legislature. How to get it? Well, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also send us a check or money order or cash, $25. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, the book From Lubies to the Legislature by One Woman's Fight Against Gun Control by Susanna Hupp, H-U-P-P. And you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and go to the search engine there and type in the name of the book, and you can get it with your PayPal or your charge card. Okay. By the way, we're still carrying on. This is the last opportunity that you'll have. I mean, you can give it money at any time, an offering. But the last time I'm going to make an appeal for it this year, I should say, to our employees fund, our employees appreciation fund. Every year we have a fundraising drive, and, you know, we're not a big fat ministry. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of big givers. We've got a lot of little givers, and we love them. And no matter what the size of your gift, from $1 to $1,000, we're going to apply it, if you want it to go there, to the Employee Appreciation Fund. Please, when you send us a gift, tell us how much of the gift goes for the Employee Appreciation Fund. Now, we only have this 1 month a year. This is the last go-round for this year. And the employees, it helps them so much. And what we do is we take in all the money that we get, and we divide it among the employees. And Juan and I don't get any of it. We just take the employees and we give them each, you know, a certain percentage of it. And we don't take any out for administration, or there's not, you're helping the employees, the people in shipping, the people that take care of our billing, the people that answer the phone, that take care of this radio program, that take care of our web page, and that publish our books. These are real hard workers, folks, and they've been with us a long time. They're very loyal. Won't you be loyal to them? If you can. Just give to the Employee Appreciation Fund. This is a supplement to their pay. You know, they sacrifice by being here working for a Christian ministry. We do the best we can, but we just can't keep up with all the high-tech companies, all the others here in Austin. But you can help us through the Employee Appreciation Fund. So when you give, be sure to designate for this. If you give $30 to the ministry and maybe give an extra $20 for Employee Appreciation Fund, that'd be wonderful. Or you can designate it all for the Employee Appreciation Fund. Of course, we need money for our ministry, too, to keep going. But right now, I'm more concerned with the workers, the staff here. Please help us. Okay, back to our regular program. We're talking about human sacrifice. You know, a lot of people don't know that the Indian tribes, some of them, many of them, tortured their captives. They tortured them. Now, you know about the taking of scalps and such as that, all the way up to about 1900 or so. But how about this? In New Mexico and Illinois, archaeologists have found evidence that the Indians butchered humans and boiled them into stews. Boy, I thought that was in Africa or South America. They butchered human beings and boiled them into stews. Wow. Now, listen to this. In 1565, French colonists at Fort Caroline near present-day Jacksonville, Florida, reported human sacrifices among the Timucua Indians of northeastern Florida. Timucua women would voluntarily sacrifice their firstborn babies to the king in order to obtain favor from the gods in future harvest and hunts. They sacrificed their babies and they thought they would be gaining favor from the gods. They also sacrifice adults from time to time to appease their gods. Boy. In the early 1700s, officials in Louisiana personally witnessed a sacrifice of a Natchez great son, that's the king, his wife, and retainers as part of his funeral. In other words, the Natchez great son king, he died. Well, after he died, then his wife and all of their helpers, you might say the court, they had to die as well, just like in India. How did they die? Strangulation of the deceased leader's wives and slaves was mandatory. Goodness. Goodness. It was considered a great honor to die. You'd be favored in the next world. Yeah, sure. Listen to this. American traders witnessed Pawnees, you heard of the Pawnee Indian, on the southern plains killing young women as a ritual worshiping the goddess of the morning star, or Venus. Now, I want to say that again. The Pawnee Indians kill young women as a ritual worshiping the goddess of the morning star. Boy. And there are many other examples of this as well. Now, so you people out there that they're going to write to me and tell me the Indians were wonderful folks. They worship the Great Spirit. That's the same as our God. Nonsense. Nonsense. You know, I mean, that's what the Hindus used to tell me. We worship the same God as you. We just have a different name for him. Yeah, you have 3 million names for your God. One of them is the Kali serpent goddess, the cobra serpent goddess. Now, come on. They would have holy sex in their temples. They still do in some parts of India for their goddess. Now, don't tell me that's our God by another name. And by the way, Allah is also not the name of my God. Is it your God? No, Allah is not our God. It's just the way it is, folks. Now, get to Rick Warren. It's very, very sad, but his son killed himself, committed suicide. Now, Rick Warren is pastor of one of the largest churches in America. He sold over 36 million copies of his purpose-driven life. And he gave his first interview since his son's suicide to who? Well, who else but Pierce Morgan, the super liberal. Well, why would Warren make his first appearance after his son's death on a show like Pierce Morgan? The reason why is because Pierce Morgan is a fanatic gun controller. And I guess Rick Warren wanted to make a message or a statement. Now, I want to just read you what he said. Quote, someone on the internet sold Matthew a gun. I pray he seeks God's forgiveness. I forgive him. You know, I don't think you do, Rick. Someone sold Matthew a gun. I pray he seeks God's forgiveness. I forgive him. He's not responsible for your son killing himself. I don't know why your son killed himself. Now, I'm not blaming Rick Warren. Perhaps it's not his fault either. But his son killed himself with a gun. It was unregistered. It was on somebody on the internet sold him the gun. That person was not a wicked person. It's not the gun. It was the thoughts in your son's head. Your son killed himself. He's responsible. Don't blame the gun. Don't blame the guy who sold him the gun. He didn't know your son was going to kill himself. He was on the internet. He didn't even know your son. You don't have to forgive him. That's the way liberals think, though. My son killed himself. Whoever sold him the gun is responsible. Or consider this. My son robbed a bank, killed somebody there, and they shot him dead. I forgive the person who sold the gun to the bank official who shot my son. Didn't your son have a responsibility? I mean, if I'm in a fist fight with a policeman and I will not stop and he orders me to stop fighting him and I will not stop and he takes out a gun and he shoots me in the head and kills me, Wanda doesn't have to say, I forgive the person who sold the gun to the policeman. And she doesn't have to say, I forgive the policeman. I believe Wanda would have enough sense to say, I'm so sorry that my husband was misbehaving so terribly. They always blame the gun, the people who sold the gun, the National Rifle Association. I mean, the Gun Owners Association. They blame somebody other than the one responsible. I mean, this nut, this black nut, and went to the Navy Yard there in Washington, D.C. and murdered 12 people. And then they said, the people who sold him the gun are responsible. No, he's responsible. He was a murderer. Goodness gracious. Well, we've got another gun problem. John Kerry, it seems, has already signed the United Nations Treaty on Small Arms. But the Senate has not yet voted on it. It's the Senate, according to our Constitution, that has the right to approve a treaty or to disapprove it. But you can't go over their heads and sign it and start obeying it like the Secretary of State, John Kahn, which is his real name, not Kerry, Kerry, because he's actually Jewish and he's been hiding that for many years. Of course, as you know, I reported it to you. Now, obviously, he did this with Barack Obama's permission. That's the United Nations Treaty on Small Arms. Now, the Senate will not approve it. And I don't care how many secretaries of state waste their time signing it. It's nowhere. It's nothing. It's a piece of trash. Until the Senate approves it. These people, they don't want to obey our Constitution. And they need to impeach this guy. They need to impeach him for signing that document. Meanwhile, get this, folks. A disarmament commission set up a civilian weapons confiscation study group at the United Nations. See, the United Nations, we pay about half the money for their operation, the United States does. They have an Office for Disarmament Affairs. And they have a disarmament commission. And now they've got a civilian weapons confiscation study group. Civilian, that's you and me. Listen to what they say on this, their statement here. This is the United Nations Office for Disarmament Affairs, dated July 29th and 31st, July 2013. The United States of America, hey, there's 175 countries in the world, but they're going to pick on us, right? The United States of America has an estimated 500 million weapons in the hands of its civilian population. This is a massive, dynamic problem for the process of confiscation, as there will be those who refuse to surrender their firearms. Wow. Then they have 7 suggestions on what they need to do to overcome the weapon owners in America. Now, they don't even mention the Second Amendment here, the right to keep and bear arms. They say this commission will submit its findings and final recommendations for a full review by the Office of the Secretary General. Hey, forget it. I say close down the United Nations. I say send them packing over to Africa or some other place. And don't even give a thought. Don't even perish the thought they mean anything at all. John Kerry, impeach the guy and don't take all day doing it either. He's not worth but about 20 minutes vote. Okay, now we have another thing. Over in Argentina, Carlos Carac, the Jewish, and he was the interior minister of Argentina. Now he's been investigated for his ties to a bombing. What got bombed? The Jewish center. How could the Jew bomb the Jewish center? Well, they do it all the time all here in America. It's called a false flag. You see, first the Jewish center gets bombed, and all of the Jews scream, "Look at us! It's the Holocaust all over again. The neo-Nazis did this. They're bombing us. Oh, woe is us. We're so hated in the world, we Jews." Then it comes, we find out that the Jews did it themselves. Wow. Turns out that Mr. Carac paid $400,000. $400,000 to one of the people who were charged in the attack that left 85 dead and hundreds wounded. They killed their own people. They killed 85 Jews and hundreds were wounded. So they can run around the world saying, "Woe was us. We've got all these anti-Semites out there. They're bombing our community centers. They're bombing our embassies. Oh, they hate the Jews." This is from the Times of Israel newspaper, dated July 1, 2013. Now, let's get to the Pope. The Pope says that Judaism is the holy root of Christianity. He says, "We have rediscovered, I'm just quoting him, that the Jewish people are still for us the holy root." Wow. He says that he at times, listen to this, the Pope says that "I have also questioned God, especially when my mind went to the memory of the terrible experience of the Holocaust." But he said God's fidelity to the close covenant with Israel never failed, and the Jews have always kept their faith in God. For this, we shall never be sufficiently grateful to them. Folks, they crucified Jesus. What do you mean they've always kept their faith in God? They crucified the Holy One. This Pope is a nut. He's a weirdo. And he's a Jesuit to boot. What do you mean? The Jews have always kept their faith in God, and for this we shall never be sufficiently grateful to them. They killed Jesus Christ. Don't tell me it was the Romans. Because Jesus says, "The one who gave me over to you," those people, they're the ones. They're responsible. And Stephen in the book of Acts says, "You killed unjustly the righteous one. You killed." And Peter said that at Pentecost. "Ye men of Jerusalem, you kill your Lord and Savior." Now, what did Jesus have to say? Jesus said something about the Jews. He said that they were of their father, the devil. Now the Pope says, oh, they're the holy root of Christianity, while Jesus is saying they're of their father the devil. Who is telling the truth? The Pope or Jesus? Who is the liar? The Pope or Jesus? Jesus said that the Jews were not of Abraham. If they were, they'd believe him. He says your religion nullifies the law of God. Did you get that? Nullifies the law of God. You have for your religion the tradition of the elders. It's not the Old Testament. It's the tradition of the elders. And Paul said, that's why Jesus Christ came. He brought in his own body. He died on the cross for our sins. And he brought forth a new covenant, a new and better covenant. And this Pope has the gall, the audacity, to commend the Jews for keeping their own covenant through the centuries, a covenant that Paul said was vanishing and is no longer in effect and is flawed. That's what he said, it's flawed. If it were not flawed, there would be no need for a new covenant, which was brought by Jesus. Do you understand that? The old covenant is gone, dead. These people don't read the Bible. They have traditions too. The Catholic Church says we have the Bible, yes, but we have our traditions. That's a tradition of the Pope. It's a hell tradition, a hellish tradition. I will not believe anybody that thinks they know more than Jesus Christ. We can only hope that somebody like this Pope, Francis, the Jesuit Pope, will repent of these sins, will repent of saying these horrible things about our Savior. Yes, they're horrible things. He's got his tradition. I have the Bible. I have Jesus Christ. Now again, I'm going to ask you, dear friends, 1 John 2, verse 23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. The Jews deny the Son. They don't have the Father. This is elementary. Well, we only have about 30 seconds left. I wanted to tell you about the poor Christian airman, the senior master sergeant, Philip Monk. His unit is now commanded by a lesbian. He was called into her office and ordered to say that he supports gay marriage. He could not. He was relieved of duty. Then there's Dr. Oz, and he and Mike Nichols, the famous movie director, both went down and took DNA tests. This gets back to my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Turns out that they could be cousins, but Dr. Oz is from Turkey. He's a Turkish guy, Mehmet Oz. And Nichols says, I'm a Jew. Well, he's a Khazar. And they both have basically the same DNA. The man from Turkey and the Jew. Of course, because that's what my book proves. The Khazars are of a Turkic bloodline. The Jews are not Israelites, they're Turks. And these guys, Dr. Oz and Mike Nichols, have once again proven it. Well, this has been Tex Mars. So great being with you today. I pray you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.